cliffcentral.com.
When I was married.
It's a cute song, right?
Come on.
He was Mary's what?
Prayer.
Oh.
You hate that, Flax.
Yo, I've heard better music in an elevator. If you want the fruit, shake the tree. But if you shake the tree, the branch will break. What the fuck?
Isn't that from... That's from a nursery rhyme.
Never heard that.
Yeah. If you shake the tree, the bough's going to break.
Yeah, Michael, so, hey, baby, I want to know if you'll be my girl. Where does that stack
hey,
up?
Hey, baby.
See, credibility, it's something that we don't all have.
What'd you say, Kylie Minogue?
Oh, listen, before we even start the news, Ben sent me a song he chose yesterday. You want to hear this? This is terrible. Where's your song, Ben? That Canadian
thing.
Well,
you can play it at the end of the hour, Gareth.
Yeah, I just got to find it first. I'm worried I might have deleted it. It was so terrible. Ben sent me a song. Ugh. The crappiest song ever. Just send it to me again.
I didn't say here's the best song ever. I said this is Canadian music.
Yeah, and it's horrible. It's Canadian. What is it? Electro, trance. What is it? Oh, it's awful. And Canadians are so polite. It's awful music, but the guy's like, "Hi, I hope you like my song. It's really, really cool."
Canadian electro funk.
Yeah, it's bad. Okay, let's get into the news with Mubs. There's so much to talk about this morning. Lots going on all over the continent. Lots going on here in South Africa. Waste not a single minute of your time. Spend it listening to this. All right, Mubs, what's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what. People are either perplexed by what the SABC, ANC said yesterday through their chief whip, Jackson Tembo, yesterday, or they're having restored faith in the political party, or they think this is very suspicious. What are you hiding? It's all lies. Because basically the ANC condemned the SABC's actions.
Yeah.
Jackson Tembo was speaking to the media yesterday when he said it is the considered view of the ANC that the various crises engulfing the SABC are a consequence of a lack of leadership at the institution.
Yeah, but see, this is why I wanted to speak to Greg. The SABC have backed Faith Mutambi, who's backed Hlaudi Motsoeneng, and they can't now pretend that they're on the other side. Because we don't believe you, and where do you stand?
It's very confusing. It's almost like a flip-flopping situation, which just leaves us as citizens confused.
Right.
Jackson Tembo also chairs the ANC National Executive Committee's Subcommittee on Communications. He said the ruling party wants people who are qualified for positions to lead the public broadcaster. So, I mean, what are you saying here, Mr. Tembo? Are you saying the current COO is not qualified? Are you saying that we should brace ourselves for changes, for people being reshuffled, for, you know, people being booted out of their positions? What is going on? The chief whip said he believed the ANC as a governing party should have been notified about changes made at the broadcaster. He added that the party was just as clueless as the rest of us about why the SABC had introduced editorial changes. Do you believe that?
I don't, because why would he be surprised? It doesn't make any sense at all. He shouldn't be surprised. Unless they don't know what they're doing. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. I mean, you would think the chief whip in parliament, who have oversight over the SABC,
yeah,
he would know that the, you know, Minister of Communications would inform him about what's going on. I mean, what are they doing during tea time, for example?
The operative word here being communications, and he's suggesting he is suggesting that there has been none of that happening. Jeez. But even if it is true that the SABC were clueless about the COO's editorial changes, isn't that in itself a concern, that you are clueless as a governing party?
And then there's this group called the Friends of Hlaudi.
They've been around for a while.
And they are, it's like made up of Don Laka and all these people who are obviously benefiting personally from the policy of 90% and all the rest.
Yes. There are a couple of South African musicians who have spoken in defense of Claudio Motsoeneng. And, you know, for them, that 90% local content change suits them, as you say.
Yeah, it's a disaster. I don't know if you can ever take someone seriously if they're personally benefiting from something, but it's bad for everybody else. And if you're a musician or a friend of Claudio because he's made a policy that makes you personally wealthier, that's not a good thing for everybody else. That should not be the motivation at a public broadcaster.
What if you are a musician who's happy about the 90% rule, but you are against the fact that these editorial changes were implemented and the fact that they refused to show protests on any of their channels?
Could
you be that?
You've got to choose.
Or does it have to be one or the other? Can't it be both?
You've got to have either principle or profit. You decide. And if you go with profit, then we know what kind of person you are. You're like a Donald Trump. If you go with principle, you're probably the kind of person who believes in free speech. And I don't know. I mean, again, it's so complicated. I'm just so glad I'm not at the SABC. I would not go back there for any amount of money.
Mthembu also described the decision not to broadcast violent images at protests as unintelligent. This is his own word that he used. There is nobody in South Africa who needs somebody else to decide for them which pictures they must see. So,
yeah, I don't know.
That's the problem. We've kind of been left confused here about what to think, what to believe, what to take with a grain of salt. All we can do is wait.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. Well, let's move on. We'll get to talk to Greg hopefully a little bit later on. Did you manage to get hold of him or is his phone off?
No, his phone's still off. He's probably sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have funny hours.
I know a lot of people usually get up for work around about 7:30 because they only start at 9:00.
That's all right. We'll talk to him later. Cool. Thanks, Flax. All right, Mubs, back to you.
All right. There is a group of 7 former DA DA councillors who have basically defected. Is that the word? Defected?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where is this?
This is in Nelson Mandela Bay, so PE side. And they have basically joined the ANC. But then what has since happened is that they have come under criticism with some people alleging that they were bought by the ANC.
Ooh.
And they are now denying all of this and just slamming media reports, which claim that the mayor, Danny Yordan, allegedly instructed the municipality's payroll division to continue paying their salaries. The City Press reported that the municipal corporate division head allegedly entered into discussions with the payroll staff to authorize salary payments to the former DA councillors, but they're saying that this is simply not true.
Mm.
They're saying basically that it smells like a smear campaign and it's all lies. They're saying that part of the reason that they left was because they were personally not happy with challenges that they have to face as a result of what they call racist tendencies within the DA leadership. And they said especially Musi Maimane, who was forever promised to come and address these matters with us, but never made any effort to come with us. So they said they packed up their bags and now they're basically with the ANC. And that's just that. People are allowed to do that, right? You're allowed to move from one political party to the other when you find yourself unhappy or for whatever reason. Like it's not against any kind of law for people to switch parties, right?
No, it's not against the law at all. You should be able to change your mind at any given time. But I'm always very suspicious of politicians themselves who change their mind because they're usually only doing it so that they can earn money from someone else. And it's all about personal gain. That's the problem with so many people in South Africa is they just, it's all about personal gain. And if you're in public service, that should not be your number one motivation. It just shouldn't. It's completely unethical. Good morning. Who am I speaking to? Angry Steve. How's it, dude?
Hey, I'm well and you, Gareth. How's it going?
Good. How's that hardy-dar newspaper of yours?
No, we're awesome. I just wanted to comment on Gwede Mutashe saying that even the ANC were censored by the SABC. How fucking stupid do they think we are?
Well, play out the ANC ad like 2 days late or something. So the ANC have a grievance, but that's because the SABC are incompetent.
No, and recently Jesus has been spotted in the Kalahari because the ANC said they'll rule until Jesus comes again. So he's been spotted in the Kalahari, so I think that their days might be numbered. And the last thing I wanted to say was there's a new rule in the Kalahari that you're allowed to beat up a dwarf if he dances with your wife and says her hair smells great.
Really? That's a good rule. I wonder if Faith Mutambi made that happen.
The reason why witches in the Kalahari don't wear panties is so they can get a better grip on the broom.
That's my favorite joke of all time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. For awesome, awesome, awesome show. Thank you.
I can't believe that we put you in the middle of the news with those terrible comments, but thank you. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks for the awesome show, guys.
Bye-bye, dude. Back to you, Mubs.
Okay, so we did touch on this earlier in the first hour, or the sixth hour, as Flex would have it. Oscar Pistorius, D-Day, it's all happening in court today. Basically, in a nutshell, what you need to know is that the prosecutor, Gerinel, says that Pistorius should go to prison for no less than 15 years, while advocate Barry Roux suggested a non-custodial sentence. Depending on which legal expert you were listening to over the last few days, I mean, I actually don't know. A lot of what I was hearing was that it's unlikely it will be the 15 years that Gerinel has pushed for. And that's because he's already spent a year in prison.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's disabled.
Word on the streets, 10 to 12.
All those factors come into play. So I just hope that it doesn't drag out into tomorrow. You know, it should all be wrapped up by today.
You know that people are going to be unhappy no matter what the judge says.
Can he appeal this one again?
No,
he can't. This is the absolute last stop.
Jeepers, I'm just getting tired. People not be able to take something on the chin anymore in this country.
If he gets less than 10 years, people are going to be like, I can't believe he got less than 10 years. If he gets more than 10 years, people are going to be, I can't believe he gave him more than 10 years. And I'd hate to be the judge.
Yeah, I mean, what a difficult position to be in because...
And she's back in that court with him. Yeah. She's like, oh, no, not again.
And she's under that magnifying glass, that public magnifying glass, where people were so disappointed with her first ruling.
Yeah.
But, you know, she should put all of that aside. She's a judge. She's there to do a job, and she must do that job regardless of what the rest of us think of her.
All right. Well, go ahead. Judge Masipa, good luck to you.
Absolutely.
I'm very happy it's you and not us. We wouldn't know where to start, Mubs. What would you give him?
I have zero qualifications in law.
Just throw out a number. Everyone else in this country does. Throw out a number. Ben, how many years?
23.
No, Ben.
It's
you're the hanging judge.
15 is the maximum.
No, I disagree.
Uh-oh.
No, that's what the law says.
The longer this has gone on, the more I realize that it should be 23.
So in other words, Ben would make sure that he actively punished people who kept appealing.
Exactly.
If you just took your punishment straight away, and you shut up about it, then Ben would let you get a much lesser sentence.
Because ultimately money is keeping this thing going here, not justice.
Okay. All right. Mubs, how many years?
Oh, 12.
No, I reckon 12. Flax, do you want to send Oscar Pistorius to jail for 5, 10, 15 years?
How long would you like? Life without parole.
Life without parole.
25 to life.
Okay, sure. Some very draconian.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben and Flax are very, they're full of hatred for Oscar this morning.
No, Gareth, I'm just wanting justice to be done.
Yeah.
Trust me, 5 months in prison in South Africa is justice being done. It is hell in there. Okay.
All right. So you two, you've got Carl in your life, Gareth, your dog, and Ben has Meowsers, his cat.
Yeah.
How would you guys feel about cloning both of them?
Great idea. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. How
much?
All
right. $100,000.
Okay, no, forget it. Sorry. Get a new dog.
Again, can't afford it.
This is part of the service that Soam Biotech Research Foundation provide. With a client list including princes, celebrities, and billionaires, the foundation offers owners protection against loss and grief with a cloning service that promises the perfect replacement for your beloved pet.
When are we going to get to the stage where we clone humans? Then I'll be willing to shell out some cash. Imagine making two of me.
Oh, gosh.
No. Don't get panicky. You'd only have to deal with one. But the other one would be out there doing other stuff for me while I'm busy.
But why do you want two of you? It's not as if the second you is going to make your life expectancy longer. You're still yourself.
One of us is going to last longer. We experiment.
Yeah, but you
so
are...
the one is, you know, drinking a lot. The other one is not. The one is exercising a lot. The other one is not.
But you are still you. You are not your clone. So does it even matter that you have a clone?
I'll make the clone work for me.
Like a slave.
Yeah. And I don't have to feel bad because it's me.
Okay.
There'll be no clone rights. Hey, Pashida, if you could clone yourself, would you do it?
Definitely.
Are you all right? Because you had some trouble this morning.
Yes, I'm fine. It was my own stupid mistake.
What did you, run out of petrol?
No, we went to the petrol station and then we poured and I was still trying to take out the money. The ATM wasn't working, so I tried to swipe and I forgot my PIN and it got blocked.
Oh my God.
And the petrol was already in the car.
So what do you do?
So I don't know, because my cell phone is pop. It doesn't do internet banking. The ATM is acting up, so I'm like thinking, what am I going to do? I call the call center. They just keep giving me more problems. No solutions.
Jesus.
So I'm stuck there. We're thinking, okay, what are we going to do? We're trying to talk to the petrol attendant and the petrol station manager, whatever. We're trying to do whatever we can.
And what happened?
And then what happened was I begged this guy on the other side of him, the call center, and he said, just do cell phone banking.
And did you manage to get that done?
I managed to do that.
Oh,
thank goodness.
Stupid mistake.
For some kind
But you know that, I wonder how many people that's happened to, where you fill your car up. Mm-hmm. Now your car is full of petrol, yeah. So you've got the petrol. Now you have to pay for it, and your payments don't work.
They don't work.
That a similar thing happened to me, but it was because I'd forgotten my purse at home. So, I negotiated with the petrol attendant. I said, I actually live just around the corner from here, so I can go and fetch my purse. And he was like, I don't know.
Because you look suspicious.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll leave my bag here. So that, you know that I'm definitely coming back for my stuff.
That was clever.
Which I did, and then everything was worked out.
Sure. Yeah. I once went to fill up, and luckily, but just before they started putting the petrol in, I realized I didn't have my wallet. And I went, whoa, stop. The guy's like, what? I said, did you put any in? He said, no, not yet. So I said, oh, thank goodness. I'll come back later. I don't have my wallet.
You were saved.
Yeah, but that's scary. Because you don't want to... Like, you don't want to be locked up for that. You know what I mean?
No, and you don't want to run away either. You don't want to gun the car and just run.
Exactly.
And you also don't want to feel bad because apparently those guys, like, whatever amount that you fail to pay gets deducted from their pay. The petrol attendants.
Oh, my God, really?
Exactly.
That's what I heard.
That's terrible.
So you definitely don't want to be responsible for some poor petrol attendant having to foot your bill.
I didn't know they did that.
I heard they did that. Jeez. I don't know if that's 100%
true. Okay, back to cloning.
Okay, so since the year 2006, this facility has cloned nearly 800 dogs. It was all commissioned by owners or state agencies who are looking to replicate their best sniffer and rescue dogs. According to a researcher and the spokesperson for this institute, his name is Wang Jai Wong.
Of course.
Of course. He says these people have a very strong bond with their pets and cloning provides a psychological alternative to the traditional method of just letting the pet go. That worries me.
Why?
Because...
People will never deal with loss.
Well, I mean, loss is a part of life.
Right. In fact,
and
pets...
And it doesn't kill most of us. Loss doesn't kill the majority of us.
It shouldn't. And for most kids, the first loss they experience is the loss of a pet.
Yeah.
And it teaches you how to deal with mortality, right? Nobody's going to last forever. Not now. Which means you have to at some point get used to, like, you know, little Fuzzy's going to die at some point. Now, if your parents protect you by keeping clones of little Fuzzy, I don't know if that's good for you. I'm with Mabali on this one.
But also, I mean, your clone is not... I mean, a clone of Meowsers, Ben, it still wouldn't be Meowsers. It would be just a clone. So the behavior might not be exactly the same.
Yeah, Meowsers got a lot of characters, so...
you can't clone that.
But would she be able to take on new character, though?
Possibly.
Because this is the whole thing about the cloning procedure, right? It's like, what can and can't they do? What are the terms and conditions of clone?
Okay, so this is the process. What they do is they harvest a mature cell from your pet. They copy it. And then they transfer its DNA into a donor cell. They then put that donor cell, or rather they fuse the donor cell with an egg through an electrical jolt, and then the resulting embryo is implanted in a surrogate pet. So some poor dog, female dog, has to carry this thing. And then it will give birth to the clone in 2 months. But all it's really done is replicate the DNA, nothing else.
And they want $100,000 for that.
They want $100,000 US, Ben, which for you would be 1.4 million rand.
For me, it's not possible. I just can't do it.
Exactly.
Sorry, you'll have to just deal with Miaz's parting ways with you two eventually. You know, the point is a human lifetime is how many times the animal's lifetime? It's 20 years time. I can't remember, but basically we're meant to outlive these animals so that we can learn about loss and difficulty. It's just a reality of the way that their life cycle works and ours works. If you were a bug, you would last a couple of days and you'd be finished.
Shame.
Yeah, I just don't think there'll be another meowses, though.
No, they won't. I noticed a bunch of scratches on your hand, though. So
that's
maybe
that's someone else's cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's my friend's stupid cat.
Okay.
See,
I just saw Ben.
Cats
Ben,
can be shit.
Ben's hand has been mauled by the bear from The Revenant.
That's a big scratch, Ben.
Yeah, it's not for meows. She doesn't scratch me.
Okay.
She knows.
Whatever you say, Ben. Stockholm syndrome.
This is the hand that feeds her. This is the hand that stroked my friend's cat. See the difference?
Ben? You know what? One day you're like an abused wife. You'll eventually realize that he doesn't love you. In this case, that Miaz's doesn't love you.
Yeah.
She's really scratching you, Ben, and you actually are getting hurt.
Yeah.
Guys, say what you want. When you meet Miaz's, you'll understand.
Look, we're here for you, Ben. That's what we're saying.
All right. Roscoe says, clone for spare body parts. I mean, wouldn't that be great in case you need a spare heart or kidney? Just take it from your clone.
Yeah, like that movie The Island. They were harvesting
good.
Their clones.
There we go. Tyrell says, they've made 80 million on pet cloning already. Wow. That's amazing. And Jared says, concerning cloning, do you think the personality will be the same? What if your clone turns out to be a serial killer?
Yeah.
And because you've got the same DNA, you'll get the blame and you'll get locked up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, just think about that. Bunch of storylines that could really change things. Listening to cliffcentral.com, it happened to me what happened to Peshitta, because my card had been cloned and my bank account was emptied. So I had to make a plan at the petrol station. Worst feeling ever. And Cara says, I can't wait to get investing with Anthea. Send me her banking details. Yeah, a lot of people are interested in that. Riyadh says, Gareth, thanks for opening our eyes. Ever since you left Five, I've stopped listening completely. Truth. Well, that wasn't my intention, but I do think we need alternatives. Speaking of which, we're going to get the guys from Zim Conversations in a moment or two. That's KF Malindi and Kamal Piri. I'm going to speak to them about what's going on in Zimbabwe today, because there are big protests planned for today. They're basically shutting down the country, and they're on the knife's edge in Zim at the moment. So we'll get to that in a second. Anything else from you, Mubs?
No, that's about it.
That's
Gareth.
The news?
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll speak to the guys from Zim Conversations. That's next on cliffcentral.com. You can also join us this morning by calling us on 0861-555-189 anytime you want. I'm in love. Cliffcentral.com on a Wednesday morning. I hope you're off to a good start for the day today. We are here to keep you company, look after you, tell you what's happening in the world. And this morning, we're also here to introduce to you a brand new show. And the timing is excellent, because really these two guys they've just done one podcast already. There's another one on this week. It's called Zim Conversations. The idea was that we thought we'd link together all over the world every member of the Zimbabwe diaspora. You know, there are Zimbabweans in virtually every corner of the world. They've had to leave Zim for various reasons, some for positive reasons, some for negative reasons, but they've had to get out of Zim, and there isn't a place where they can get together and talk. So we thought we'd create that place here. And I'm very happy to have them in the studio this morning. The two hosts of the show, which you can hear by going to cliffcentral.com, and you'll find it under our podcast-only shows, KF Malindi Jr. and Kamu Piri. How are you, gentlemen? Very nice. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Let me just turn on your mic there. I don't think I've got you on, KF. All right. So today, and the reason I wanted to get you in this morning before everything was already old news, today is a massive day in Zimbabwe.
Shut down Zimbabwe 2016.
Yeah, and this started, look, I mean, it started 35 years ago.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I saw an article in the Maverick this morning about Robert Mugabe says it's still his time to eat.
Which is true.
And meanwhile, for the ordinary people in Zim, today is like breaking point because
it's monumental.
There's no money in the system.
None whatsoever.
Food is ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. Even very rich people can't get more than $300 a day.
True.
Out of the ATMs.
It's gone down to 100 actually.
100, oh, it's 100
yeah.
now.
100, yeah. And I mean, we talk of these numbers from the banks as if people even have that kind of money in their accounts.
They don't.
So first of all, people don't have the money.
Theo Moyo was telling me yesterday that unemployment is into the 90s.
It should be
probably. Everyone's an entrepreneur.
Call it 100% to be safe.
Really? Yeah. Well, okay. There's no one employed. There's no formal sector. No, it's all really informal.
There is a formal sector, but most of the people who are formally employed aren't getting their salaries,
which is as good as being unemployed.
That includes nurses, teachers, doctors, policemen. Yes.
The policemen and soldiers were paid last week in anticipation for the protests this week.
All right, it's hard not to be cynical about what's going on here. How do you guys feel and what do you think is the situation on the ground for most people?
Well, look, for me, I think personally, being directly affected by it from so many different facets. I mean, like, from an education perspective, from a health perspective, my mom is a cancer sufferer, so, I mean, she has to get treatment in Zim, which costs at least about $7,000 a month, jeez, of which, realistically, that's an amount of money that you cannot get. Now, first and foremost, you might be able to get it if you're resourceful enough, but then the issue is the medication available? Now, are the doctors going to be there to treat her? This and that. So, I mean, it's a really poor state of affairs. I mean, I don't think anyone can even explain it to an extent whereby you would understand just how bad things are in Zim.
And Gareth, I mean, Kamu's tackled it from a social perspective. On a more political dispensation, I think the saddest thing is that a lot of Zimbabweans have invested in their country, and we love our country.
Yeah.
We go to school because we love our country, because we want to build our country.
Yeah.
We love a country that doesn't love us back. A lot of people want to go back home, but our government doesn't feel that it owes allegiance to its people. It feels that its people are the ones who owe them for some weird reason. Maybe they're taking it back to the 1970s when they were still in the jungle, but you chose to fight. We're fighting a different struggle, which is the economic struggle. Give us a chance to actually fight.
Tell me about this flag. We played a part of that yesterday on the show, and we actually had a call from a guy called Elson who lives in Harare.
Okay.
And he told us about it. He tipped us off to it yesterday.
Yeah.
This guy, Evan
Mawiri.
Mawiri. Yeah. Right. And he has basically, he's made this very impassioned plea to the government, to the people of Zimbabwe. He's basically saying to everyone, what is this flag worth? What does this flag mean?
Yeah.
What are we getting out of being Zimbabwean anymore?
Exactly.
It's tough as nails right now. Who do you think is in greater danger? Do you think the government are precariously on the edge? Because they could be.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think someone like Evan and someone like perhaps you two and anybody else who's expressing themselves about what's going on there is in more danger?
The difference with what's going on now as opposed to what happened in the early 2000s when there's the rise of opposition parties, stronger opposition parties, is that these are no longer politicians who are coming up and saying we're tired. This is the ordinary Zimbabwe.
On the street. Yeah.
Everyone on the street. It's no longer about political parties. It's no longer about he's influential, he's not. Ordinary people, combi drivers, combis are our taxis.
Taxis, yeah. Right. Yeah.
They're like, no, we can't. I'm not going to work. And I hope everyone actually does stay at home today.
It'll grind the country to a halt, but will the government take serious note of that?
No, it won't. Just yesterday, I know a lot of government people working in the government sector are very close to me. And they send me, emails that they received, you know, telling them that today's a normal working day. It's in the newspapers. It's in the newspapers as well. So, I mean, I'm gonna be very realistic. Unfortunately, for me personally, people like Evan and AC Lumumba.
No, let's not even talk about AC.
For me, they all sound
why,
like.
Why do you say that?
They all sound like opportunists to me.
We have the worst thing about politicians or these new political parties that are trying to go against the dispensation that is currently there is that they have a Bismarckian opportunism. AC Lumumba is a former member of ZANU-PF.
Of course.
And then he comes out and says, no, if he wasn't kicked out of the party, he would be doing the exact same thing that they're doing today. Joyce Mujuru was also kicked out.
Right.
She's like, you know what? Let people protest. I'm like, Joyce Mujuru, your husband cracked down on protesters in the early 2000s when you were still a part of the party.
Exactly.
So we don't want to hear anything from you. Let the people speak for once.
It's the truth. I mean, realistically, if you think about it, everyone who actually is going to get something out of this whole process realizes the importance of shutting down Zimbabwe today. It's not just about the people. It's about personal ambition. That's what hurts me the most.
Now, what is the best case scenario for today and what's the worst? Obviously, we hope no one dies.
Yeah,
but what is
sure.
the best case scenario in terms of the result?
The result should be that the government will actually stand up and take notice that these people are tired, and very tired, actually, and they need to make certain changes. I mean, let's look at the ban on imports. This is where everything started.
Apparently, you can't even import a whole lot of South African goods at the moment.
Of course you can't, you know, and that's ridiculous.
What's that about?
It doesn't make any sense, guys.
Their allegations are that the reason why there's a cash shortage is because of a high number of imports. So you're taking the US dollar out of the country and coming to South Africa to import goods. So they're saying the only reason that there is no cash in the country, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't make sense.
But where's the 15 billion? Let's start there.
That's like you want to have a glass instead of a sieve.
Exactly.
But the sieve is the only way you get to trade.
Patrick Imagine. Chinamasa, the very old man who's also our Minister of Finance, was on BBC Hard Talk last night, the worst interview ever by any statesman.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. It was ridiculous. He was frothing at the mouth, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, please no.
Really?
Yeah,
that's the level of
apparently his son was caught with $7 million in cash in the boot of his car.
Well, Gareth, that's not surprising. Gareth, you have people in Harare right now driving around with $50 to $60 million of cash.
And they posted it on Instagram and Facebook.
There's
sons and daughters.
There's a nature in which Zimbabweans live in Zimbabwe currently.
Tell me about it.
And it's a bit hard to fathom if you're actually living in a global society. You go to Zim and you've got an individual who went to school who has, you know, who's how can I put it, who's articulate, someone who can actually walk into any country, any corporate office and get a job and be of value. In Zim, that doesn't mean anything. In Zim, your skill set on the ground is what's important.
In other words, hustler.
Hustlers control the country. So you have people posting on Instagram, oh, well, you know, I've got $50,000 for breakfast this morning, hard cash. And here's an informal trader or even a formal trader saying to you, I can't get $2,000 to complete a transaction of equipment or whatever that needs to come into Zim so that I can make a profit for my family. And how does that look if, in this case, the government is the one that's giving these people the money?
Yeah, it sounds like everything has just fallen apart, infrastructure and system-wise.
Years ago.
Infrastructure-wise, fallen apart, let's say dilapidated.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, Gareth, the thing is, the one thing, and we've always had hope. That's, I think that's our biggest problem as Zimbabweans, and I'm about to show you that problem right now, is that when you said infrastructure, it won't take our country 10 years to resurrect with a change of government. Because everything is still intact, except for, you know, power issues, streets and so forth. There are potholes here and there, but the infrastructure
here
is actually there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, we're not East or West Africa where you had bombs in capital cities and where, you know, things were torn apart by war.
Yeah.
You know, if investors walk into Zimbabwe, they're like, you know what? With the right regime, we might invest. Just to clarify one point, guys, with even Maurre, I want to disagree with Kamo a bit. I don't think he's an opportunist. I think he's a genuine person who was just tired. AC Lumumba, on the other hand, is a politician. Even I will give him the benefit of the doubt because shut down Zimbabwe 2016 only came about because of his movement, this flag. And I think it's a beautiful movement. I'm a skeptic of...
Is he going to be all right? I mean, is he not going to be arrested and disappear?
They can't do that to him.
Well, not at this stage.
Yeah, not at this stage.
That wouldn't be the smartest move in terms of what the government would do. No, they wouldn't do that.
And he's talking... This is a peaceful protest. No one is going on the streets because Zimbabweans won't go on the street in the first place. He said, just stay at home. 7 p.m. last night, there was, what do you call it? A curfew. There was a curfew last night.
There was a curfew,
I got the message whilst we were in studio, and they said, yo, there's a curfew, and police and security officials are going to be moving around the city looking for gatherings, secret gatherings. So if you meet up with four or five friends for a beer after seven.
Is it concerning that it almost seems as if Zimbabwe stands on their own on this matter, because we've heard very little from, you know, other SADC countries in terms of their stance on what is happening in the country? Is it concerning that there isn't more support for the country?
I don't think so, because we're not surprised as Zimbabweans, to be perfectly honest.
Their loyalty is to the president.
SADC leaders are also afraid.
They're totally afraid. I mean, like, Robert. Look. If you look at what we've been going through over the last, let's say, 15 to 20 years, you would have expected by now there should have been some sort of hand, you know.
The worst thing that happened to us, Kamo, was Thabo Mbeki.
You think so?
Thabo Mbeki was the worst thing that happened to us. I mean, first of all, rumors, allegations are that, you know, he had his interests in the country. But we know that certain documents were kept out of SADC.
Uh-huh.
They did send a task team. Remember the task force that was sent over to analyze the situation during the
during those elections.
Those elections,
exactly.
The MDC won.
It was never publicized.
Yeah,
it was never published.
Zimbabwe is a very tricky area to actually just try and operate from. If you're in Zimbabwe right now and you're sitting down and you're thinking, okay, fine, today is Wednesday, Wednesday morning. How am I going to get up from point A to go to point B? It's a very difficult struggle, realistically.
It seems to me almost like the government of your country is trying its best to make you completely enslaved to them.
But that's already happened, Gareth.
Okay, but if that's the case, then a lot of South Africans who don't understand the situation, this is not me, this is how some South Africans feel, they go, oh, well, why don't the people just rise up and, you know, and do what we did to oust the old National Party regime in this country?
I'll tell you what I think. We were brainwashed from a very young age. The system in itself taught us to not uprise. We were taught, this is the leadership, this is how things are going to be done, and if you go against the grain, there's serious repercussions. And that's how we've been since we're kids. I mean, for us to honestly be able to speak and say, okay, look, oh, we're not happy about this, we can do it from here, that's fine.
Yeah, but there you wouldn't.
No, what?
Yeah.
And say what? To who?
Yeah.
It's not even about an issue of disappearing for me or about what could happen in terms of the backlash. What is the point?
I think, and our brainwashing, I don't think it was a conscious effort by our government, because I don't want to think that they started off like this. I want to think that they started off with good intentions. However, our educational system, which is so brilliant, is also so disempowering, for lack of a better word.
Of course.
So a Zimbabwean, instead of saying, I'm going to toy, well, I'm not going to go to work and be like, well, I've got the problems. My children need to eat. I'm going to work. Yeah. I'm going to make a plan. And that's what we say on our show. Zimbabweans
make a plan.
So instead of going out and, you know, risking our lives, no.
We don't have marches in Zimbabwe.
No.
We don't
People look
that.
At you like...
And that's the extremity that we're going to have to reach, honestly speaking, if we want to see a change in that country.
But how much worse could it get?
It can get terribly worse.
Really?
Yeah.
It was worse than this in 2008. And we have been saying
this. This is what I was thinking. I was in Harare in 2009, and things were still pretty tough, but you could see it was starting to get better.
Yeah.
I was there a year later. It was definitely improving. Mm-hmm. I was there another 2 years after that, and it was getting infinitely better than it was in 2008. Mm-hmm. But then we hit this. Is this just a combination of factors? Is it a very complex scenario, or is it something simple?
I wouldn't want to say
And how much does it have to do with... Like, Robert Mugabe is in his 90s. He's the oldest man in control of a country in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Guys, but he's not in power anymore.
Okay, but he's on his way out. But he's already got his appointed heir, which is Grace.
Of course.
And maybe people look at this and go, well, we were holding on for Bob to get out of the way. Now Grace is there. It's going to be another 20 years
of this
shit.
It's family legacy.
And I think she's the one who started in the first place.
It's all about personal interest, individual interest. There's so much that, let's say, for instance, the Mugabe family has accrued in terms of wealth and riches, you understand? And that is controlled by numerous different families as well. And all the other political allies, as well as allies that they have on a social basis, have also benefited from being associated with the Mugabe name.
So it's an oligarchy.
Exactly. So if you look at it like that, how do you expect the country to shift overnight? Or how do you expect people to be able to make a change when there's so many people just trying to guard everything that they've managed to accrue?
And one thing we're failing to look at as well, Gareth, which is a very big factor, is that within ZANU-PF itself, there are factions.
Huge factions.
So even though Robert probably knows that his wife isn't the best candidate, that's the only way he can safeguard his children's future within the country.
She was planted as a mole.
That's it. He's just worried. I think Robert, for the past 10, maybe 15 or even 20 years, has just been worried about, okay, what is my family going to do if I step down today?
Of course, because his family doesn't have the raw strength that he had. His children are...
He's afraid of the factions within the party. Yeah. He's afraid of the factions within the party who are going to be like, wait, okay, enough is enough. We're taking all of this back.
Or taking it for themselves.
And what about regular people? Are they so disempowered that there's no way for them to get out of this?
Zimbabweans don't care. The problem with politics in Zim is that put a roof over my head, make sure I've got enough to buy a small car, maybe a little smaller one for my wife, be able to have meat in the refrigerator, a couple of beers, go out with my friends, they're good. Zimbabweans don't really care who's leading them.
Well, at this stage,
I think we're very docile people.
I'll say it's not that they don't care who's leading them. They actually realize that no matter what they do, they don't have a choice in terms of leadership. They tried.
We've only started caring because there's no bread and butter.
You mentioned Inanna and said, look, MDC won the elections, the most recent elections, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly. What happened?
They didn't come in. Because Bob still had the army in
The door was shut. It was closed.
Yeah, but then that same person, Morgan Tsvangirai, refused. You see, this is why I say
Where is he? What's he doing?
He refused to step down within his own party. Imagine if he had become president. The constitution of his party clearly stated, after two terms, you leave.
Yeah.
He's like, but no, you see, I have not won yet.
It's the vision.
I'm going to stay. And I'm like, oh, thank God we didn't put you into power. Because it would have been just the same.
Well, thank God we don't put anyone into power at this stage. You know, it reaches a point whereby you feel like the citizens are the only ones who can run the country for
maybe
themselves.
Maybe let's not date for a while. Let's be single.
Yeah, let's be single. Yeah, you know, okay, let's look at our options.
But let's take some of these lessons, because I think South Africans see a lot of things going on here. And we think things are bad, right?
Yeah.
Things are awesome here.
They are awesome here. But we must also be careful that there isn't a family that has the kind of control that the Guptas have. And we just make sure that there isn't a family like the Zumas who have control that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that there's stuff that we could do for Zimbabweans from here that would make a difference?
It's a tough one because it depends on what capacity.
Mm.
I think the only people who can actually make an impact in terms of how things can be for Zimbabweans is the government. And honestly speaking, they've done a great job in terms of allowing us to migrate up and down as much as we can.
That's true.
You know, you're allowed to come in for 3 months, you can work, do whatever the case may be. Most recently, I must commend the Home Affairs, they gave an opportunity for Zimbabweans to come in and formalize their stay in the country. That was about almost 6 years ago.
And there are a lot of Zimbabweans in very prominent positions.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right. Very true.
CFOs, yeah. MDs, general managers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the level of capacity that you'll find from intellectual Zimbabweans. And even Zimbabweans who haven't gone to school as far as, let's say, university or college, you find them being hardworking individuals. That's why you get them in so many laboring positions and stuff like that. Plus, they can put 1 + 1 together, which is very important. So, quick learners. But, I mean, that's just the realistic nature of how being a Zimbabwean is at this particular stage. Look, South Africa has done a great job in terms of accommodating us. I mean, we're reaching a stage whereby we're still being able to negotiate with the Home Affairs to say, okay, look, can we extend the stay of certain individuals? Yeah. Can we, you know, loosen the noose here and there so we can be recognized as South Africans as well, depending on your impact on the economy
on the society. Out, that's the only way that we're going to change that country.
Which is actually
too
very
many
true.
People have given us refuge.
Kef,
we all need to go back, kick all of us out, send us back home. And you know what, you'll make a plan.
Because what's going to happen is we're just going to take over this place. And we're having a good time doing it. So
Gareth, I think, first of all, South Africa has its own internal problems, which I remember you saying yesterday that, you know what, we fail to see the problems of others because we're fixated on our own.
Yeah.
And I think that's where South Africa is. And, you know, I mean, you're allowed to be. I think it would have to take a very concerted effort by the region to change things in Zimbabwe.
Internationally, yeah. I think.
When the West comes in, Zimbabweans are also still skeptical.
Okay, let's be realistic. The major problem that keeps on being thrown in our faces by the ZANU-PF or by the current Zimbabwean leadership is that it's the sanctions that have been,
It's the West that imposed
imposed sanctions on us, Gareth. You must understand that. So how are we supposed to...
Are you putting on your politician voice?
There you go. So, I mean, okay, so here I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, I've got a dictionary. So sanctions, okay, cool. That's bad. Oh, that's really, really bad. But, okay, can't we move past sanctions? Can we not move past all these things?
And well, I mean, the EU dropped the sanctions.
And aren't the sanctions also really against individuals
who have benefited? Exactly.
Thank you so much.
So that's not affecting the
So let's get rid of the individuals, right?
In order to get rid of the individuals.
But now that's where your problem is. Those individuals are not going anywhere. See, they're still the core of who governs the nation.
Who are the most powerful people in Zimbabwe at the moment? You say Bob Mugabe is kind of not the most powerful guy anymore.
I'd have to say Emmerson Mnangagwa is very, very influential.
Who's that?
Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Who I would want within that party, who I would see as the best choice for a future candidate.
Wow. Okay.
His speech has started to change, his tone, his mentality towards the West, towards, you know, including the international community, has kind of changed. I don't want to upset anyone. That's just my own opinion.
Yeah.
Powerful people, Grace and her whole faction.
No, Grace is extremely powerful. And you see, she comes from the tutelage of His Excellency.
And so that tutelage is how to make people disappear.
It's priceless.
Because you will disappear.
It is. I mean, look, the disappearing thing for me is nothing. It's tutelage. It's about what somebody who has managed to lead a country, or let's say, what's the best word for it?
Own.
Own, yeah.
He's owned the country.
Somebody's owned the country for plus minus 3 decades, right? And you go under this person's tutelage. I think you should be able to come out of this some sort of robust, solid leader.
Yeah, but it's a fear factor.
Of course it's a fear factor.
Because a lot of people have disappeared.
Now, how do most Zimbabweans get their information? Is it there's a network of people?
Yeah.
I mean, are you all connected on like WhatsApp?
Oh, yes. Funny enough, actually yesterday it was being discussed that there's a possibility that they're going to go with the China approach, obviously, where you build this massive firewall and you can't access certain websites and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is actually very, very Zim-like because, you know, we are pro-East. So much so, you know. So, yeah, that is definitely something that's probably going to come into play because most Zimbabweans, 34% of internet traffic from Zimbabweans comes on WhatsApp. Comes from
WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter. That would be their biggest mistake because those are people's, what do you call it? That's the only recreational activity that people have. Well, you know, when you're in the house and you have no food and there's no power.
It's also the only place that can let off some steam.
Exactly.
If you block that, the steam's going to come out somewhere else.
Because half the time,
let's see if that happens. Let's see if Zimbabweans can muster up the courage to get the steam to come out from somewhere else 34 years later.
That would be a big mistake.
Are you impatient?
I'm very impatient. At this stage, I can't actually fathom the idea of going back home in this current situation. It doesn't make any sense for me.
There can't be a lot of traffic right now.
No. There's 16 roadblocks right now, currently from Harare, going all the way up to Beitbridge. 16 roadblocks. And each of these roadblocks have, let's say, a mass of about 8 or 9 policemen manning the roadblocks. And their main intention is to take money off vehicles coming up and down the border.
Very good point, Kyle, because one of the reasons why protests started in Harare, which was after Beitbridge, was because, first of all, there's no cash, as in there's no hard cash. You've got figures as a bank balance, but there's no cash. But who always has cash? It's the combis.
There you go.
Because you're not going to get into a combi and swipe.
No.
You have to have, so the combis always have cash. So police officers have mounted, like you would, getting into the city, which is like 5 to 10 minutes, you'd encounter 4 or 5 roadblocks. Firstly, for their own pockets, and like Kamu said, for targets. I think the government is actually using combis to get cash to subsidize their own expenses.
You need to understand the level.
Because they don't have, they themselves don't
the
have
cash. The type of government
that
we have. We have a government that consists of very, very intelligent individuals. They must not fool you for 1 second when they change their accents and start to say, oh, but this one, that one.
They're smart as nails. But,
exactly.
But smart for their own purposes, not to run.
They've got the Julius factor. They've got the Julius factor. Where he'll come and, like, you know, he'll speak all this rhetoric and then he'll holla, holla, holla here and there. But if you sit down with him and you have a conversation, you realize this guy's he's smart.
I mean, Julius was supported heavily by ZANU-PF at one point in time.
He's no fool. So, yeah, it's a very, very tricky situation. The landscape is very, very weird right now.
Kat, it cannot be explained in words.
No.
I mean, you cannot tell an ordinary South African, an ordinary American what actually is going on the ground. You would not understand.
No, they wouldn't.
What's the solution, guys? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, one, I like Kev's suggestion. Kev's suggestion of us being kicked out of all these countries that are looking after us.
So you're saying we must actually be mercenary and horrible and nasty and chase you back into them?
Yes, I say go home and sort your situation out.
Because you're giving us an alternative plan.
I mean,
and
really,
how long are we going to survive?
Exactly. And now what you've done is you've imparted us to the point whereby now that we're like, some of us are like, what, almost 10 years in the system now? So we know a lot now. We're just as good as you.
Think of this, guy. Think of the amount
of
money.
We might create our own system.
Think of the amount of money because we have sustained the government. Now that I think of it, I've never thought of this. We've sustained this dictatorship.
Of course.
Because the 3 to 5 million Zimbabweans who are in the diaspora send money back home every month.
Of course.
We're sustaining that government.
Some of us on a weekly basis.
The more people who are out there, the more we run an economy.
100%.
Them, yeah.
100%.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They've left a mass of individuals in the country
if
that they know they
cut
can control.
Cut off that hand that gives you the bread and butter. Send them home.
I'm telling you.
I can't believe you're actually asking for something that is personally going to kind of destroy so many people's lives in this country who are making a contribution.
Well, who are making a contribution to what? To a dictatorship that is slowly destroying the country? And that's the worst thing about our generation of Zimbabweans. We're not willing to suffer for future generations.
Oh, no, we like Louis Vuitton.
Which is why this and regime has stayed in power for so long, Kamo.
Of course.
Because they were willing to go to war. They were willing to risk their lives. A lot of them died, and they're still willing to risk their lives.
I can't. I've got a new pair of Nike shoes that's coming this week.
There you go.
I can't afford that.
There you go.
And these Nikes, I've been trying to get them, Kev, for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
So and you can imagine.
Gareth, I'm not saying literally, let's kick Zimbabweans out of each in every country, but I think there needs to be more support in terms of, guys, how do we send you back?
Yeah.
How do we regain the country? There needs to be, we can't just come in, become a CFO and think everything's okay. After 10 years, you naturalize, you become a citizen and that's it.
But you know, I think, okay,
if
naturally,
if you gain positions of power outside of your country, use your power, use your celebrity, use that brand to try and change your country. We don't care.
But
that's the biggest problem.
Let's be honest. I mean, once you reach a point whereby you've been through adversity, and then you manage to make a plan for yourself and move into a space where you're slightly more comfortable and you make the lives of the people around you more comfortable. You really can't.
Why would you go backwards?
Why would you go backwards? Because now what you're doing is, let's say, for instance, you've got a wife, you've got kids, you're looking after uncles, you're looking after aunts, let's say all in this country. And then you wake up one morning and you're like, okay, look, me being the breadwinner, right, have decided, all right, look, so I'm going to go make a change. How's that? And everyone looks at you like, huh? You're going to go make a change today. Well, as long as you leave everything of yours in our name, that's fine. And then once you've made your change, let us know. We'll follow right behind.
Follow.
Because that's the logical way of thinking. It makes no sense for someone to get up from any country that they're living in a comfortable and a reasonable state, to go into Zimbabwe and start fighting battles that even people on the ground in Zim are failing to fight, of which that's where the war, or not the war per se, but that's where the struggle is supposed to start. That's where the revolution is supposed to start. Okay, let's
give
kudos.
We're not failing, Kamu. We're not persistent, and we expect things to change overnight. Things are not going to change overnight, and that's why I say that this is why this regime has been in power for so long, because
they're relying on your complacency.
Exactly. I mean, we wake up and we're like, we're going to change things. People think shutting down Zimbabwe today is going to change anything. Make it consistent. This should just be a wake-up call. To say, guys, okay, this is the start of the race.
And yeah, then, so people like me who are looking at this going, well, maybe, you know, Evan and people like him are the revolutionaries who will start the change.
Mm-hmm.
Is that optimistic?
Yeah, that's very optimistic.
Evan
has a flag around his neck.
Yes.
And he's got a couple of Facebook videos.
I think Evan is a very strong character because people have started to speak.
Oh, Evan's
out.
Real strong. Because that too. Listen, this is what I'm going to do.
But did you do it and people start to speak out?
No, this is what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a suit made.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm going to
change
the flag.
Out of a flag. I'm going to have t-shirts, stuff like that, and socks, and nice little Air Force Ones and stuff.
Can I ask you, I need something? I want one of those Robert Mugabe shirts. Can you get me one?
I can possibly do that. That's actually, yeah,
I need one,
get you one of those. Yeah. You're probably a large, right?
Yeah.
Sure that.
Yeah.
But this is it. Like, I mean, for me, I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but I know what it would take to remove this type of regime. And it's not going to be a few Facebook videos with a nice little soundtrack in the back, you know, a nice Oliver Mtukudzi guitar string. And remember,
do you remember Mbuyava Hector?
Yeah.
I mean, they had a show on ZFM.
Yeah, which is another prominent radio station.
Another prominent radio station back home.
The owner, the part owner of the station is the Minister of Communication and Postal and Courier Services. Great.
And the girl who interviewed Evan,
yeah,
is the daughter of the Minister of Health.
Of which he himself is a person who's been affected by the sanctions. So, hey, great. I guess this is a place where we'll find solace. Eh?
Gareth, I think the best thing that has happened with Evan's movement, this flag, is that ordinary Zimbabweans who were previously afraid to speak have started to speak. In Zim, it was very cautious. You don't say anything about the president.
They're speaking on radio,
Do not mention the president's name unless they're saying, hallelujah, Herman, we love you.
They're speaking on radio.
People have gone on the street.
And she called herself Mbuyawa Hector. She didn't say my name is Elizabeth at this particular...
She then recorded a video that she put on Facebook. Everyone has seen her face come. People's faces are being seen. People are no longer afraid.
They're no longer afraid.
And that's one of the hashtags. Hatichachka, we are no longer afraid.
Really?
You know, we are tired. Enough is enough. I mean, to the extent that AC Lumumba, things are kind of changing. Let's give him some props.
Okay, fine.
Recently, AC Lumumba went live on Facebook and in public and said, use the F word against the president.
Yeah, played it this morning.
Oh, right?
AC.
And you know what? But you know what? He was arrested. But what did the Concord say?
Was he arrested or he has gone into hiding?
No. He was detained and he was released.
Yeah.
And he was released because the Concord ruled that you are allowed. That is a major ruling for our constitutional court. That's major.
Yeah.
Well, okay. How many people disappeared?
Good, right? Let's take some gains.
Let's take one or two.
I don't want you two to be negative and pessimistic. We need you to help fix things.
But it's the people. It's AC. Look, I'm not pro AC for any particular reason. You know, me and him have never crossed paths to such an extent that I have a problem with this individual. But it's where his political training comes from. Is what my problem is. ZANU-PF.
Yes.
And this guy gets kicked out of the party, obviously, for whatever reasons, whatever fallout they had. He comes out now and has, you know, the kahunas, if I can say that, to now saying, oh, F this guy, and oh, viva this.
He had probably talked to his lawyers.
He said, fuck Robert Gabriel.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, you won't say it because you'll get into trouble.
You go on. And then, so I'm like, okay, fine. So now here comes this guy with the massive F word. Whoa! You know, this is exactly what we
and
need.
And people
right
were
now.
Quiet. For like 5 seconds. Then someone was like, but nah.
But that's funny.
But it was funny.
This guy is simply on a campaign to be in a position whereby if things do change and if the revolution does actually
come
about.
He's at the front of the queue.
He's going to be one of number four beneficiaries.
He's also,
oh, remember me? I said, fuck this guy.
He's also a Julius because he was kicked out. He's disgruntled. Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm going to get back at you. How could you leave me for her?
Maybe when I say Africans, we're all of us, right? Maybe we're all Zimbabweans, South Africans. Maybe we've got this ridiculous idea and we're just so keen to believe.
True.
Mm-hmm.
We're so happy to believe, to put our faith in a leader.
Yes.
We're so thrilled that there's someone who's going to look after us.
Yeah, someone's willing to take the reins.
That we don't bother to look at where they come from. Whether they're actually just looking in for their own interests.
Exactly.
Maybe we deserve this.
I think it's a continent-wide
problem.
You know,
you get the government you deserve.
Yeah.
Maybe we deserve this.
It's a continent-wide problem. Look at Equatorial Guinea. I mean, we're complaining about Zim, South Africa, blah, blah, blah. There's places on this continent that when you step in there, you're like, wow, this is how you guys live on a day-to-day basis. This for you is luxury. I mean, it's ridiculous. I would rather be in Zim, honestly.
Yeah.
I really would. Like, I mean, Eritrea, Somalia, Mali, you got... But every time you get to these places, there's this leadership that lives in a lap of luxury.
And you know what they call us? I remember being
astounding.
In East Africa and they said, oh, Southern Africans are so posh. The things that you guys complain about.
They've been trained to suffer.
All right, listen. You're going to do another show for us this week.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a new show on cliffcentral.com. It is called Zim Conversations. And these are the hosts, KF Malindi and Kamu Piri. Thank you both very, very much for coming to see us.
Cool.
Thank you for having us,
and,
Gareth.
And the next time we have you on, we'll find out about where you guys are from and what you've done and all that.
Okay, yeah.
Wonderful.
We haven't done much.
This morning you've done enough. You're going to get into trouble. There we go. Zimbabwe Conversations. You can hear it on cliffcentral.com. Download the podcast today. Already, hundreds of people have. And we're happy to say that for your first show, you guys are chasing down the leaders of the pack.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very nice. I like it when you come in and you take over. like every other
Zimbabwean.
Like exactly.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, gents. There we go. Cliffcentral.com.